Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real as Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Paige Yates
and Taylor Yates.
And in this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
How you doing, Mom?
Good, thanks. How about you?
Good, thank you.
Anything you have to report or tell me about with those adorable little kids or life as a selectman?
Have you gotten into the K-pop Demon Hunters cultural phenomenon?
Well, as you know, I recently had your daughter tell me about K-pops.
K-pop. It's singular.
Sorry, K-pop. The girls. Anyway, earlier that week, I had just heard about it, but didn't really understand what it was.
I've not seen something this big and like culturally universal since Gangnam Style.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like 15 years ago when we were all talking. I haven't seen this many people talking about and enjoying the same thing since then. It's great. I mean, it's 7 of the top 50 songs in America are from the soundtrack of this movie.
It's so funny because what was really funny is your daughter is 4.
Yeah.
I would have expected this to be more like the 10, 11, 12-year-olds kind of phenomenon. And she was like so into it and she knew the songs. And I was like, whoa, right. I got to watch this movie. So I'm going to.
Yeah. It's great. And yeah, I mean, that is like the power of a good, fun movie is that everybody could watch it. So like, look, I am not in the camp that all good movies are serious movies. Like, you know, the last time I saw an Academy Award winning movie was a pretty long time ago.
Yeah.
And part of that's having kids. But part of it's just like, we're so busy in our lives that a lot of times when we turn on a movie or turn on a TV show, we're just looking to have fun. And that's what this movie was. And I had a lot of fun watching it with my kids for the first time. I had a lot of fun watching it with my kids for the fourth time. You know, you know, it's like likable characters, a pretty straightforward, I don't know if it's a straightforward plot. It is a complicated plot, but it's interesting.
Well, isn't it the type of plot that whatever age you are watching it, it delivers a different message?
Yes. I mean, let's just give people a brief overview, just in case they happen to be one of the few people that haven't seen this. K-pop Demon Hunters is about a Korean pop girl band that moonlights as basically demon fighting ninjas, and they use the power of their voices to keep our world protected from the demon world. And just as they are on the cusp of making that protective barrier permanent, they meet their greatest challenge yet, which is a demon K-pop boy band. I won't tell them anymore. And from there, they just like tease out lots of interesting character dynamics, lots of fun scenes. And it's just
the songs are great.
The songs are great. It's like watching, you know, everybody watched Wicked last year.
Yeah.
And it's like the same dynamic, right? You enjoy the songs, you enjoy the characters, you enjoy the story. And I'm just an admirer of a film that knows exactly what it's trying to be and executes that really well. And that is what this is.
And the nice thing is when your kids bring you a movie to see that you too can enjoy.
I know.
It's really good.
My oldest brought it home and he was like, Dad, do you know what K-pop Demon Hunters is? No. What is that? And now we know. Now we know very well what it is. So back to real estate. This week, we're talking about basement transformations and hidden square footage you didn't know you had. Mom, as somebody who did a basement conversion, what types of basement conversions deliver the best return on investment?
So first and foremost, if you have a choice, if you're building something like ADU unit or some additional space, but you have a choice to build to choose the height of your basement, I will always advocate that you do a 10-foot pour.
Yeah.
The cost to pour the extra 2 feet is so minimal compared to the return.
That's right.
So if you have a choice, many people don't. I think what I find that when we go down to in houses today and we're seeing new construction or houses that have been renovated, the key features that we see in basement are typically exercise rooms, potentially a bedroom with a bathroom, and kind of a wide open space.
Right.
But a couple things I've seen in basements that to me were brilliant or in spaces that I would consider to be marginalized because of what they are. For instance, as you come down to a basement, coming down the stairs, there's always a lot of wasted space under the staircase. And I recently had a house where the owner had 4 young kids And they got a handyman to take that space and make it into a children's market.
Oh, yeah.
With kitchen.
I remember this
So they
house.
Could, products to sell in the kitchen. They had a little door that they could. And so many young people have kitchens for their young kids or the grocery store where they ring it through. And it was really cool because they put it underneath the staircase. So it wasn't out in the room, but it was using kind of dead space.
It was
with a brilliant idea.
It was a significant step up from like the plastic kitchen that my kids have.
Correct. But it was using space that you really can't put anywhere else. The ceiling, the height would be...
Stairs are complicated. Basement stairs are complicated.
So that was really cool. The other thing that I've seen in kind of the using the staircases as you come down is people have taken and cut out spaces to put dog crates, which is really nice because dog crates are huge. And oftentimes they take up a lot of space.
That's right.
In a mudroom or something. But I've seen how they started putting them into underneath the staircases.
Yeah.
Which again is a great use of space that is kind of dead space, at least in a basement.
And dogs are den animals. They don't actually, it's like a misconception that they mind it.
Yeah.
Right? That they, because they like having like one entrance that they can face and they, that means they know they're safe.
Right. So in a basement, I think they're, you know, you'll typically see great exercise rooms, open spaces, if you want to have a pool table. But I think the biggest component that I've seen recently is the 10-foot pores in the ceiling. If you don't have that, seeing if you can get some natural light in there, replacing a bulkhead with a door with steps down to it could be a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But getting as much away from the dank, dark basement concept, good lighting, opening up bulkheads to bring in doors with light, 10-foot pores, creative ways to use under the staircase for storage.
Yeah. All right. So then what are some common mistakes that you've seen when finishing a basement?
Making a lot of little spaces and just not having a big, wide open space.
That's right. I think it's tempting to...
chop it up, I guess, is what I would say.
Yeah, it is tempting to chop it up because you're like, oh, I've got so much space down here. And then you chop it up. You're like, oh, well, not really.
Yeah. And people sometimes like to define spaces. And sometimes I think in a basement, you can do that by either putting furniture or you can put, like someone was saying, you know, great open book shelves that kind of defined an area.
Right.
I think people try to put too much into their basements.
Right. There's such a thing as asking too much of one level of your home.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. The one I will say is environmental. Like think about the environment that you're dealing with down here because your basement is the part of your home that is most likely to get moisture, right? And it can come from really two main areas. One is groundwater, right? It's either seeping in or outright flooding your basement. Or that's where your hot water tank is, right? And I've had a hot water tank fail, right? It wasn't like a gush of water, but it was enough where if it had touched my finished space, it would have ruined it. And that would have been really expensive to fix. So, you know, do the things to like make sure that things are waterproofed, put like vapor barriers down between the concrete and whatever flooring you're putting in. Put like safety mechanisms in for your hot water tank and you'll be fine. There's ways you can manage it, but just don't forget about it.
Well, I learned that lesson the hard way because I had our basement flooded.
Oh, that's right.
One section of the basement, because I was in an old house, had a dirt floor.
That's right.
Which I never used and wasn't close to anything that I was doing. But the water actually came up through that. It was like 5 feet. So it was a very expensive situation. But then I put concrete down, put a concrete floor in, and it was fine.
Yep, that's
so,
right.
So haven't had any issues since.
All right. Well, that's all we got for you on basements, and we'll talk to you next week. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston or on the web at yatesboston.com.